The views expressed on this Turnbuckle Tabloid live stream or Turnbuckle Tabloid podcast episode do not reflect the views, thoughts, or opinions of the RageWorks brand, including the RageWorks podcast network, RageWorks content partners, advertisers, and affiliates. Viewer and listener discretion is advised.
Hey, this is Casey Armstrong. You're listening to Turnbuckle Tabloid. Nice!
Turnbuckle Tabloid.
3, 2, 1.
What's going on, everybody? As you know, this is Matt Olsky from Turnbuckle Tabloid, but when I'm not here talking wrestling, I have another hobby, which is collecting Funko Pops. So if any of you guys want to check out my new page, The Funko Hub, on Instagram, we promote Instagram Live, sales, raffles, and just talk about anything Funko related, what you're collecting, what I'm collecting, and supporting the community at its finest. So guys, check out The Funko Hub on Instagram for all your Funko needs. And to support the Funko community together.
Give me a fucking mic! Turnbuckle Tabloid, cutting a promo.
Cutting a promo, ladies and gentlemen. This week we have you guys. Create your promotion. Create your promotion, ladies and gentlemen. Of course, as always, Matt Olsky's in the building, and now we have our guy, Rondo Apocalypse. Rondo's in the building as well, wanting to get his insights and cues on what are our thoughts. And
is that a Death Note book, bro?
That's, what was that?
Is that a Rondo has a notebook. Is that Death Note?
No, Matt.
Chill.
Not at all. So, create your promotion. Just a quick synopsis. Everybody believes that they could do their better booking, they have better creativity and such when it comes to creating their promotions. We all are armchair promoters.
And you know what? I'll say one thing before we start. If everyone thinks they could do that, based on what I've heard at indie shows, people's ideas, quote unquote, they suck.
What was the best? What was the best one we heard so far?
Let's put Rey Mysterio in the Lucha Dragons. Go fuck yourself, all right? Oh, what were they called? The Dragon, the Lucha. I think they were the Lucha Dragons.
Oh, some shit like that. They were gonna make themselves the Lucha Dragons or some shit.
And I'm like, okay, so you throw anyone with a mask in that faction. Let's just call them the Lucha Dragons. Hey, a terrible idea.
Fuck around. The way WWE's booking, he's gonna be in Lucha House Party soon enough.
That's it, you know.
He's gonna put over the Lucha Libre, boy.
So, just to kick it around, Rondo, not to give the full synopsis, just to get a general idea, you being a former wrestler and such, when you think of good wrestling and with a promotion, what's the first groundwork, what's the blueprint, do you believe, for a good wrestling promotion?
I think it's a mixture of everything. So every company has a different way that they go about presenting wrestling, in my opinion. And, you know, where WWE has the more showman type, you know, AEW kind of tread on that line between wrestling and sports entertainment. But I think kind of sometimes they skew more towards the sports entertainment aspect. And then, you know, you have your indies and New Japan who just focus strictly on the wrestling. So I think, honestly, for me, the best mixture would be honestly a good combination of both, because you don't want to have just wrestling and concentrate on wrestling. And then, you know, it's like, okay, that's cool. They can wrestle. All right. Why do you think nobody watches wrestling in the Olympics? Because nobody really gives, like, you know, you can appreciate the talent and the athleticism and everything. But at the end of the day, you're like, well, that was boring, right?
No.
So there's more like an emotion that you have to drag out of the crowd, out of the fans. And I feel like it has to be a good combination of both.
Although no one's watching Greco-Roman or amateur wrestling at the Olympics, but they sure enough going to fucking watch breakdancing because, wow, right. That's where the turnout is going to be at.
Right, and as a wrestler, you should be able to have a level of showmanship as well. You know, you can't just go out there and, you know, it's like, cool, you can do all these things and all these athletic feats, but at the end of the day, who's going to remember, you know, who remembers Tito Santana that much as opposed to Hulk Hogan, right?
Fuck so, you, I remember Tito Santana. Arriba.
I do too, and a lot of people remember, but ask somebody who's at least 2 years younger than Matty. Ask them who Tito Santana is.
It's the flying burrito gorilla.
You will be surprised. I actually asked someone 2 years younger than me, and they automatically thought that he was a Tatanka.
There you go.
They thought it was a barber.
So that's a problem. But
ask him who Hulk Hogan is, and they'll remember. See, so there's a level of showmanship that you have to have as a wrestler as well in order to be remembered. So, like, honestly, for me, I think the showmanship should be more on the face than the heel, and the heel should be with the more technical ability. You know, that's kind of like
that's your switch.
You know what I'm saying? Like that's how I feel.
Because usually the heels are limited because they, you know, they're trying not to get cheered because of their moves. Like a great example is Seth Rollins. Like the dude is one of the best in-ring workers I've seen. And, you know, when he's a face, he does all the flippity floppity shit. He does what he got to do. He turns heel and the dude's only doing like dirty moves and, you know, being very limited. Right. Very limited, which I'm okay with. But
that just goes for the psychology. The for me, the heel has to have more of the wrestling psychology than the face.
Because
everybody says it's honestly easier to be a face. Because
he has to back up the bullshit he keeps saying every week. Like, oh, I'm better than you, blah, blah, blah. And you got to have that backup. I get that.
So what about you, Matt? Since you're a fan, what brings you to what brings you in attendance to a wrestling promotion? What does a promoter do to draw you in to partake in their shows?
Creativity and innovation, man. Let's stand the fuck out. Let's stand out, man. You know, wrestling's been around for so long that, you know, there's only so much left you could do storyline wise that could change the game. I mean, we all know behind the curtain is the Wizard of Oz. Okay, we all know what the deal is now. You know, we're aware of the bullshit fuckery of the business. Surprise me. Like, I'm not even kissing ass or anything, and you guys are going to tell me I am. But, like, for example, like, I can't say it without kissing ass. VXS, honestly, like, for me, like, with the music, like, Juice WRLD and, like, the skateboarding videos, like, that kind of stuff, like, X Games kind of vibe. Not even just VXS, like, a different company in general. Like, doing things that I've never seen before definitely attracts me. Like, for example, like, When WWE did the Cruiserweight Classic, right? I was fucking loving it. It was different. It was showcasing a certain kind of weight class, and it was new. Raw reminds me of the Natural History Museum, bro. I see that shit every week. It's the same shit. So for me, I want you know, of course the in-ring work matters and the promos matter, you know, but those have been tuned and refined for as long as wrestling's been around. I want some innovation. I want some different type of music being used. I want these wrestlers to go out of the box and try to make the matches matter again.
To me,
because when I'm invested, you have me at 120%.
To me, I look at how promoters these days, the first thing that they're doing is, I got to get that social media buzz, got to get that bite, got to make sure that, you know, so make sure, let me get the top stars that I think that everybody's going to come in, and I don't give a fuck if they can't wrestle for shit, but as long as they have them high spots, woo-wee, the fans are going to see if this guy's going to do a double fucking hurricanrana off the top of a table and do it through the fucking concession stands. Yeah, we need that, right? Woo!
Wait, are we talking about the Bills Mafia or wrestling?
The Bills Mafia.
No, we're talking
Mafia.
About AEW.
The Bills
That's all
Mafia.
I fucking care about. I'm sick of these lazy. I'm sick of the lazy booking where it's like, okay, you're gonna face this guy. We have no build up to this, so in order to make people attracted, you're gonna do five Tope Suicidas. You're gonna do a Canadian Destroyer. That's all I ask. And yeah, just do that for me. Like, that's just like, that's just a cheap way of booking a match nowadays. And I feel like it comes down to just straight laziness. It comes down
to because it's cheap. Because that's cheap. That's cheap heat, quote unquote, right? Like, that's just a way to get. Yeah, that's just a cheap pop for, like, you know.
Yeah,
to
but
get
every
the
match.
In.
But yeah, because
that's the path of least resistance. Like, if you have, like, guys that you that these guys don't know, then it's like, yeah, that's what you're gonna do.
For example, I was watching wrestling from 2006 the other day. I was doing just doing some research on the network, and like, there's a clear difference in terms of in-ring work between John Cena and Shelton Benjamin on Raw and John Cena versus Edge at No Mercy. Okay, nowadays they blow their load every week, so I see the same shit on pay-per-views on Wednesday nights. There's no difference for me. Pay-per-views are not special for me no more. They are just pay-per-views for WWE to me are like Raw Plus or SmackDown Plus. There is no difference anymore. Back then, it used to be a fucking night at the Super Bowl, bruh. And nowadays, they're just being lazy.
Well, I see it that when you're starting a promotion, the key to putting together an assortment of talent, business, advertising, you put all those things together, and of course, you know, it's like, hey, that's how big business happens. But you still gotta get, you still have to have that feeling and a sense of what the promoter enjoys first. Because I'm not gonna make a promotion that I'm not gonna enjoy. I'm not gonna have a business that I'm not gonna have fun with. Because then it generally becomes really work, you know.
That's like me starting a sewing company. I don't fucking care about sewing.
Rondo would know about this. Like, Rondo, you know, years ago when WCW changed over. Before Bischoff took over, they had Jim Herd, and Jim Herd was like a pizza fucking guy, and he took over. And that knew was nothing about wrestling, and just he wanted to make fucking Ric Flair like this gladiator fucking gimmick and shit.
Oh God,
you know
that sounds terrible.
Yeah, and this is what I'm saying. You have to have some kind of sense of connection with the product and want to be somewhat of a fan themselves. Like, when you are, if you ever played any of the sports games, like if you play like 2K or Madden and such, and they have that creator owner, there's three kinds of creator owners. You have lifelong businessman, a fan, or you have a new owner, whatever, right? That kind of thing. Because right. There has to be some kind of level of interest or how you're going to play the promotion for. You're going to do it just for money? Are you doing it for just to get a pop? Do you want a lifelong fan base? Do you are you interested in bringing up talent? Do you want the big names? There has to be something that connects to you. Rhonda, with wrestling, what connects to you when you want to start your promotion?
For me, I think it's again, because I'm a person that I love a blend of everything. So for me, it would have to be, I'd have to have people who are like, again, showmans. Like, I mean, once we get into the list of, you know, I have like a list in my head of people that I would like in a promotion. And once you get into it, you'd have your showman and you'd have your technical workers to try to have like the best of both worlds, and keep people peaked. Because if you have one or if you have the other, it's like, it's almost like, a clock is right twice a day, right? So, like, you know, you're gonna hit at some point, and sometimes you won't. So it's like miss or hit. So you kind of want to blend the both to catch as much attention as you can. You know what I'm saying?
Right. So Matt, if you were given $100,000 to start off with, right? What's the first thing you're looking for? Talent, location, or the right group of people to work with first?
$100,000
to start off with.
I mean, I really can't afford anybody with that money.
For your first show, right? You're giving $100,000.
I'm barely worth $100,000.
Listen, there's promoters that tell you, like, listen, if for indie promotion, there's
okay. Indie promotion, $100,000. I'll go for. I'm gonna go for. I'm gonna go with the people I work with first, like my team. I'm gonna go with my team because at the end of the day, like, I believe wrestling is all about creating new stars. I believe there's always an outlet and there's always a chance to create new stars. And I'll be honest with you. You asked Rondo the question, like, what's important, like, when making a new promotion? Like, what avenue would you go for? Mm. And sad, because I actually like the direction that AEW was going into, right? Let's sign a few vets, let's make most of our roster these young cats, they say, that we could bounce off each other and get these new stars rolling. I'm a true believer in that. It's unfortunate that AEW isn't quite doing it right because I'm sorry, you have MJF and you have Sammy Guevara and you have Darby Allin on the same roster, and it's like you have a gold mine and you're not fucking, in my opinion, you're not using it to the best of your potential. But I'd go with my team, because if I have a good inner circle of smart people in the business, I think we could pull off a good show regardless of money and talent, because I could afford top flight with fucking $20, so I'll be all right.
I'm gonna go with the thing where business has always been bred on, and I always felt, and I was thinking about this last night while watching Wrestle Kingdom, and I said, you know, there's a reason why this happens, and it's always a staple for them every year. Location, location, location. Wrestle Kingdom every year is where?
Tokyo Dome.
And their whole big goal for those individuals who are in a promotion is to wrestle at the Tokyo Dome. I think for to start off a promotion, I wanted to make a centralized place where I don't have to go to people, that people will come to me. And I think that's where...
Well, don't you have to get good first to do that? To get that cred?
No, because...
ECW did it.
Exactly. Good point. Look, ECW did it. They had a centralized place. They didn't have everybody that did. They just had ragtag kind of guys that put them together and made a promotion from it.
House of Glory's doing it.
Yeah, I mean...
Where are they at?
We'll see in 2021. Hopefully they make it.
I know where Ken Bro is at.
Yeah, that. By the way,
who said that? I'm sorry.
Yeah, that was real shocking. Was it shocking?
The monster had to mention that.
Yeah, was that shocking that occurred, that he popped up somewhere, which will begin to lead me to that line of questioning, Rondo. What kind of face of the company would you put together? Like, what would be the pristine wrestler to start off with? Not to show your whole cards or what you're gonna have in your wrestling promotion, but like, what kind of wrestler would you want to be your shining star?
Honestly, for me as a face, I'm gonna as many people are gonna hate this. I kind of go with Vince on this has to be like a larger than life character, right? It doesn't have to be a big dude though, you know, because Eddie Guerrero was a larger than life character and he was perfect at the top. And there's been plenty of people that were larger than life characters and weren't big or whatever, but it would literally have to be somebody with just a shitload of charisma and that can honestly do the basics. Because to be a face and to be a top face in a company, I don't believe that you have to know how to wrestle great.
Mm.
That makes sense.
Hogan.
But even so, it kind of goes for other people too, because I mean, I'm not gonna say anything, but MJF is not, I don't want to say he's amazing in the ring. He's good.
He's
not amazing, but his whole persona makes up for everything else, you know? So it's just that type of person. Like, as a face and top face of a company, you do have to have like a very showmanship way about you that gets people riled up and that gets people into the doors and asses in seats.
And that's the terminology you want, is putting asses in seats.
And I
agree. At the end of the day, if nobody's buying, what's the point, right?
And I agree 100%. Like, you know, in the beginning, in the early stages of Roman Reigns' heel run, right, his main story was with Jey Uso, and what he was describing was There's a difference between wanting to be WWE champion and being able to be WWE champion. Just because you think you're good in the ring does not mean you deserve the WWE championship. I think Roman Reigns and Drew McIntyre are the perfect faces for the company right now. In order to be the face of a company, you have to go and, I don't know, promote it. So if you're a shrimp who doesn't like to speak, you're not getting that gig. Period. So I like Rondo's answer because everyone thinks that we should be giving the main belt to these dudes, some of these dudes, and some of these names I'm hearing, I'm like, but my guy can't cut a promo. My guy can't.
Right, why? Because he can wrestle.
Doesn't matter.
Okay,
well, you know what he can't do? He can't promote on ESPN. He can't go on the Today Show and promote this company. You know what I'm saying? That matters.
Imagine half of these wrestlers, like half of these basketball players that I see out there. Like, so what did you think of the game?
Well, I thought it was a great game. I scored 50.
That's like giving Kwame Brown the fucking face of the team. Like, that's not happening.
Like, why? Why would I even be interested in watching this interview right now? You know?
And that's the best part about WWE. It's because it's predetermined. Like, Vince gets to choose who is the face of the company. In NBA, it's kind of like if you win by luck, you're kind of fucked with, like, giving this guy praise, right? WWE and wrestling in general, you're kind of like, okay, I see what you could do. I trust you. NBA is kind of a shot in the dark where it's like, okay, if this dude wins the championship, we have to promote him. Kawhi Leonard's a perfect example. The dude can't speak for shit.
Yeah, I was about to say, Kawhi Leonard is a great example because his promotion of himself and his team is almost like basically having a fucking a pallbearer try to put over his funeral home.
We're not really
excited to hear about that. No.
And this is gonna be a hot take, but like as much as I love Cesaro, I like don't see him being that guy. Like,
yeah, no.
I don't see him being that guy that could go on the Today Show and promote this company. Like,
I think I can though.
I don't know.
To me, I guess because
the only positive with Cesaro is that he could go to different countries and promote the fucking shit in their language.
No,
honestly,
you know why? Because I guess I see him doing like up, up, down, down and shit like that. And I see that he's actually kind of fun and witty. You know what I'm saying? So I think I can't see him do that.
Like as much as we hate on WWE, I think Vince McMahon or whoever chose the main champions for Raw and SmackDown right now are on the exact pulse about what the face of a company should look like. Drew McIntyre and Roman Reigns is your top champions.
Right, because they're both sexy bitches. Like, is what we're looking at.
They're both well, Braveheart men that I could see being
men. They're manly men. They're
manly men I think they check every single box that Rondo stated before.
Well, here's the thing. So, just to kind of step off at an analogy, you go to any place where they sell something, right? Usually, if the salesperson is charismatic and can speak, they're the person who sells the most, right? But in wrestling, you have something you call selling, right? And what is selling? Selling is the ability for me to tell you a story and you buy that story, right? So essentially, you kind of have to be a salesperson, right? So there's certain people that just don't have that. And, you know, if you do, for me, the face of a company should be able to sell your company, right? At the end of the day,
that's
important.
Yeah, of course. I mean, that's
important.
What it is. Listen, I enjoy looking
at... Because if nobody's buying, who cares?
I'm the type of person that I buy with my eyes. You know, I don't give a fuck if it's $5 or it's $50. If it looks good to me, I'll get it. So it's the art of the sell. Thank you.
Right.
Like the art of the deal by Big Orange and fucking Offense. God, he'll be out soon. So,
in WWE, you either sell the story or the person. It's one or the other. So you can have that type of person as long as that type of person can sell the story, or you have somebody who is selling themselves. So it's one or the other. And if you can't do one or the other, then
you're fucked.
There's no point in having you at the top.
Honestly, it's just you need that as like people like I said, like Rondo said, people shit on Vince for wanting that big sweaty man, and it's like, yeah, you know, he kind of ain't wrong. You kind of need to promote that guy. I mean, and I'm not saying they need to be like fucking giants, but like they need to show me that they can go on TV elsewhere and promote the fucking product. You're the face of the company. You're the face of the company, period.
Like, right, because so Vince McMahon likes big sweaty man. Vince McMahon likes big sweaty man.
If I'm starting a promotion,
if I'm starting a promotion and I have a choice between Drew McIntyre and fucking Brian and fucking what's his name? And fucking what the fuck's his name?
Brian Myers.
And yeah, you know what? Fuck him. Yeah, and Brian Myers. Who am I picking?
He's really got an axe to grind with Brian Myers this week, doesn't he?
Real quick.
I'll say it right now. Yeah, because he graded fucking tribute shows like a fucking a sport. Go fuck yourself.
Like a mark?
Don't make it about you, dickhead.
And he's a fellow Met fan, too. What's wrong with you?
I don't care. Fuck him.
All right, so.
And he's not even that good. Fuck him.
So let's get to the main event of this one, ladies and gentlemen. Let's get to
the meat and potatoes.
That would be what I call him. What I have in my pants.
I can vouch for that.
Okay, so let's get this dance starting. So we'll give it to the man himself. We're gonna start off with Rondo first. Rondo, you have to take that call.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, good. No, I thought you had to take a call. All right, we'll go with Rondo first. Create your promotion. Well, before I do that, let me just go quickly. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, we'll start you off first until I find what I was looking for. Create a promotion.
Looking for a soundbite?
No. Okay. Starting with Rondo. Rondo, style of promotion you would create.
So I honestly would have, again, I can't stress this enough as from the beginning. It would be a blend of both. You gotta have, you know, some people who could put on a show, some people who can work a microphone, people who can actually work. Doesn't have to be amazing, to be honest, because everybody gets better over time anyway. But, so mostly just everybody who is well all around, but can actually, are actually for me, good on the mic and good brand representatives.
Okay.
So people who are like, you know, loyal and you know that once you get them into the company and they buy into the company, they'll be there for a while.
So who would be an example? What promotion right now, if you know, would be an example that kind of plays that way?
So for me, a face that would play that way would be Okada for me.
No, I'm talking about the style. I'm talking about the style of promotion that kind of plays that way.
Kind of on like what NXT is doing.
Mm, okay.
You know, because I think NXT is a perfect blend to have, like, you know, a good blend of both, even though they're more on the wrestling side.
Right.
But they still have good wrestling matches, good stories being told, and people that are faces of the brand, like Johnny Gargano, you know.
All right. So, your first two heels that you would want to book. I know it was tough. It's a long line of and it seems like a big heel culture. It's a big heel culture these days, but... The first two heels that you would possibly want to book?
Honestly, for me, would be MJF and Randy Orton.
Why Randy?
Wow. Randy, because, yo, honestly, you can throw Randy in any situation with anybody, and he makes it work.
And Randy's in that part of his life where he likes putting the young guys over, too.
Yep. So he's starting to get to that point now where he's realizing that, you know, you got to put the young guys over. And, you know, I mean, Orton's also a loyal guy. He's been in WWE for, you know, God, how many years now? Almost going on 20 years.
All right.
I'll say this. If you want to create stars, nothing's better than putting a young star over against Randy Orton. That makes him a star, in my opinion. It's a good pick.
Right. What two faces you would put on?
McIntyre and Okada.
Now...
You stole my husband. Fuck you.
Now,
don't talk about my husband like that.
Now, please give people the understanding of, because not many people are into New Japan, but give them an understanding about Okada.
So Okada is, as Red has put it many times, is pretty much the John Cena of New Japan Pro Wrestling. This guy is practically on every banner. Everything that's New Japan, the guy lives, breathes, will die in New Japan Pro Wrestling. He's probably one of, if not the biggest star in Japan, wrestling-wise. He was in the U.S. for a little bit, if you don't know who he is. He was in the U.S. and TNA for a little bit, kind of got burned by them, went back to Japan and just decided to stay over there and doesn't want anything to do with American wrestling for now. So there's that. That's Okada in a nutshell.
Two tag teams that you would like to start off with.
The Usos and G.O.D.
Why Usos?
The Usos, because, I mean, time and time again over the years, the Usos have proved that, A, they can work with anybody, B, they can have a good story with anybody, and C, they can reinvent themselves as time goes on. You know, that's a big important thing about wrestling, too, is your ability to reinvent yourself. We've seen it time and time again. Triple H, the Dudleys have done it. Chris Jericho has done it. There's been tag teams that have done it, too, over the years. Like I said, the Dudleys have done it. The Hardys have done it. You know, plenty of tag teams have done it over the years, too. And their ability to just mold with the times has been amazing. And especially with whatever gimmick or whatever they want them to do, they kind of blended in and went with it.
Sorry to cut you off, bro, but I just want to point out a quick shout out to Angel, Good Dad Angel. He commented 2 weeks ago, and he even said for his two favorite heels would be MJF and Randy Orton.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Yeah, keep that in front of you, because I was looking for his post, so I want you to do his run.
And his stellar promotion was NXT. Angel, I gotta fuck you up real quick. He said for his two top faces, he said Daniel Bryan and Sami Zayn. I don't know if I'm watching SmackDown drunk, but I don't know if Sami Zayn's a fucking face, bro.
Hold his for a second, because I was looking for him on the page and I couldn't find it. So hold it for a sec. Two female wrestlers you would kick off with.
And this is going to be the crazy one, because everybody I've kind of mentioned from every back and forth. But the two women I would choose for my promotion would be Charlotte and Rhea Ripley.
Wow. Why? Everybody would say, no, Charlotte, no. But why?
Charlotte, because, again, you can put Charlotte in any situation. And I get that some people think that, oh, that they're just giving it to her because of who she is, blah, blah, this and that. Okay, that's fine. You can say whatever you want. But go through Charlotte's work, her work body of work from when she was in NXT to when she was in WWE, heel or face, and whoever she worked with, you can't tell me that she never put him over. That's it.
Commentary team.
Oh, I didn't even know we were doing commentary team. What's his face now? Now I can't think of the name.
From where?
NXT. That was on NXT.
Ronaldo.
Yes. Mauro Ranallo and... Hold on. It doesn't have to be modern or anytime.
Anytime.
Yeah. Anytime.
Yeah, anytime.
I would say Mauro Ranallo and an Attitude Era Jim Ross. Jerry the King Lawler.
Oh, okay. I was going to say...
Not now, Jerry the King... An Attitude Era, Jerry the King Lawler.
I was going to say, Attitude Era Jim Ross means less drunk Jim Ross.
more on the ball Jim Ross.
Championships that you high in high regard that you would put for your promotion. Which ones?
Oh, IWGP, World Heavyweight Championship. I would put the... Oh, you just mean in general? Like championships?
Like...
World Championship, TV Championship. I would love the TV Championship. And just whatever, tag and women's. I mean, I wouldn't do any like tag women's or anything like that. Right. I just do the main ones, yeah. But TV title, definitely.
What bookers you would want?
Damn, dude.
I don't even know that answer, bro, to be honest.
Yeah, dude, what the hell? Like... Probably Triple H. I don't know. Triple H is a pretty good booker right now.
Mm. And what kind of agents?
You know what? Fuck you, bro.
Right. You're a promoter.
Here we go. The Road Dog. How about that? We'll get the Road Dog in there just to mess it all up.
You got the hood in there. Put all the DX
just
in there.
Just to mess it all up.
Put all the DX in there. So, Matt, read off Angels. What did Angel want?
So for the style of promotion, Angel wanted NXT. His two heels were MJF and Randy Orton, as Rondo did as well. His two faces are Daniel Bryan and Sami Zayn. Like I said, I don't know if I watched SmackDown drunk, but something's wrong with that. His two tag teams are FTR and Undisputed Era. His two women's wrestlers are Io Shirai and Ember Moon. That's an interesting one. Mm-hmm. Commentary team, Mauro Ranallo and Nigel McGuinness. Championships, he got WCW World Title, the big gold belt,
right?
He said. the IC title, the workhorse belt, and the tag team and a women's title. His bookers, he literally chose NXT crew. He said, fuck this, I'm from NXT, mad praise. And Paul Heyman. And then, listen, Rondo, there's no excuse for you to not give agents, because Angel gave us like six of them. He said HBK, Tyson Kidd, Dustin Rhodes, Jamie Noble, and Dean Malenko. What the fuck?
Who cares about agents?
I put it up there.
Dutt.
All right, who you got? who you got, Matt?
Sanjay Dutt, from the top to bottom?
Yeah. Who's your heels first off?
Well, my style of promotion would be...
All right, style of promotion, yeah, sorry.
My style of promotion would be a mixture between wrestling and music. I like incorporating wrestling with like art and like a kind of cool vibe. Like I want NXT's wrestling, like that, like I like the underground cage kind of vibe with wrestling being as the spotlight. I love segments, but I want wrestling first. So, because what's in that ring is art. So I like that's my kind of vibe with the style of promotion. So I guess I'll go with a mixture of NXT and a Ring of Honor.
Oh, I thought you said music. I thought you were gonna say UWF, bro. Yeah.
MTV Wrestling Society X.
Urban Wrestling Federation, right? Yeah.
So that would be my style of promotion.
Where Uncle Murder and shit.
It would be a hybrid.
Take the beef to the ring.
The two top heels, I'm going to go with Roman Reigns and MJF. I think they're the hottest heels on the planet right now. I really do. Everyone's saying, where's Kenny Omega? Yeah, his promo work needs sharpening for me to even get to that point.
I agree. So I think he it's almost like he's joking. I can't take his promo serious, you know?
Waiting for the psych. Like, it's okay, bro, like, I need you to believe in your character real quick, all right? Like, Roman Reigns, I believe him. I believe in MJF. They're real assholes. I believe it. The two top faces, I would choose, of course, Drew McIntyre, my husband. I don't know if you count him as a face or not, but this is actually going to be shocking. I'm going to go with Big E.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to go with Big E. The dude hasn't reached his ceiling at all yet. So to put him with Drew McIntyre as the faces, I'm going to go with that. Two tag teams. I'm going to go with The North. And The North. And I'm going to choose – my other tag team was originally another team. But I'm going to go with – that's rough. That's hard. I'm going to go with just for the cheap pop, I'm going to go with The North and – the Street Profits. Okay, I'm going with the Street. I was going to go Undisputed Era or FTR, but they already chose that, so I wanted to choose something different. My two women are those are going to be. I just had them. It's Charlotte and Bayley. I think Bayley like owned 2020. Let's be honest here. Like
she had a good. She's having a really good heel run, man. Not for nothing.
Her as a heel, no one could have imagined the hugging Bayley turned into like the number one heel in male and female of the year. So I'm gonna go with that. My commentary team is my favorite one because it's a mixture of. It's going to be. Get ready for this. Imagine this commentary team, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have. Get ready for this. This shit's hilarious. So you have. Hold on. So you have imagine this. Mauro Ranallo, Nigel McGuinness, and you have one more member, and that is Don West.
Don West?
Don West from TNA, baby.
Wow.
Let's go, bro.
You can get an AJ Styles rookie card.
Come on, that's amazing. Yo, do you guys remember the spot where the guy did the fucking Hurricane Rana off the top of the cage?
Yep.
He's like, oh my God! Like, yo, he sells it.
That's so only because he was coked out, man. You know?
Of course he is. I was going to say Mike Tenay, but nah, I'm good. My championships, I'm going to have a 24/7 championship. No, I'm kidding. I'm going to have the main belt, which I would incorporate the belt. I would my main focus with the World Heavyweight Championship would focus on like you get the pay raise. Like I think the days are over where we believe the wrestlers only care about having a big shiny belt around their waist. Like I want the fact that it's shown that they have a raise and they get that extra payday for their families. That's why I love Roman Reigns the most right now, the dude's literally selling the fact that belt is bringing him extra dollars and that he's supporting his family that way.
Right.
That makes the matches matter, because whenever he has the title on the line, I'm like, oh, is he going about to lose his income? That shit matters for me. My mid belt would be the X Division Championship of old. Not now. The X Division Championship of old. I want the mid card belt to be focused on cruiserweights exclusively, and like the Chris Sabin's and the old TNA way.
Right.
And then, of course, I have a women's belt and a tag team belt. My bookers would be Paul Heyman only. I don't trust anybody else, honestly. Paul Heyman and Paul Heyman and Triple H would be a good combo. And my agents, I'm going to copy Angels. I'm going to copy Angels.
What he said.
That's what he said. So,
and my wrestling promotion would be called All Mook Wrestling. AMW.
I already have a t-shirt.
AMW.
I have the shirt. Yeah, I actually have it.
So that's my promotion.
And on my part, I'll kick it off with the style of promotion. I want to give the real sports feel that wrestling should have, not this fly-by-night bullshit that AEW's been giving to the people, this so-called sports feel. I also will go with what Matt had had brought up, was the fact that let's bring back the purses, the feeling of the next level of why you win the title. That means the bump and pay. And I will show that to the audience. It's like, he's now going from making 100,000 to now making 300,000.
You know? I don't know when that stopped in wrestling, because NWA used to do that all
right.
the time.
Yeah. And
Ric Flair always used to sell that Harley Race always used to sell that he made more money as a champion. Like, right. When did that stop?
I don't know. I guess they don't want to promote that they're actually making money. Like, that doesn't make any sense. I think Jim Ross kind of sells it here and there when he talks about it. And I was
that payday, man.
I was listening to New Japan last night, and they were talking about the Okada and the Will Ospreay match, and they were talking about a win for Ospreay will bump them up into the next pay rate. You know, and that's
what I like to
that's
hear.
What you want to hear. And I want this. So my promotion would be a mixture of New Japan and also ROH. I like that kind of gritty look. I'd also make it have – I'm a fan of not showing the crowd too much, have a little bit dark with that
– Yeah, I don't want to see Susie coughing every 5 minutes.
Right. Let the lights come up when there's no one in the ring, and then when it comes down when there's somebody wrestling, that kind of thing. My two heels, I'm going to go with Matt, with MJF and Roman right now. Come on. We talked about it earlier. Roman – the look, man, regardless of the fact of what you're saying.
He's killing it, man.
And the look of him is...
He's the most believable heel on the planet right now. I don't care what anybody tells me.
And MJF is my Piper right now. And as much as you guys know, I love Piper. That's my Piper there.
Right.
This kid doesn't give a fuck, and he wears the fucking... He wears it on his sleeve.
On his sleeve.
Yeah. And I have to say that that's what we're missing in wrestling. People are too afraid of being heels. When a kid like that could actually wear that shit and fucking make it honorable.
What? I feel like everybody, because of WWE's like merchandising and the way their merchandising structure works, everybody kind of almost has to be a face in order to sell t-shirts, right?
Right.
So I feel like that also has a lot to do with it, is that, you know, some guys, they just feel like they have to sell themselves or put themselves over with the fans to sell merchandise when MJF is just doing it.
And honestly, it'll come
even
natural.
As a heel. You know?
And it'll come now. And usually, remember, back in the days, heels were actually given more money because they couldn't sell merch. So they gave the heels more money. And they were the ones at the end that had to do the job and put the face over. So the two faces I would put, Drew McIntyre, and I will go with the Cowboy. I will go with Adam Page as a face.
That's a good look.
I think that he has an appeal.
Who's your faces?
Drew McIntyre and Adam Page.
I was going to go Adam Page as my second pick if it wasn't Big E.
Yeah, Adam Page.
I love Cowboy shit.
That was probably the tough thing to me, because these days faces are really hard to come by. I would have went with Okada, but for America, it wouldn't translate because...
Yeah,
it's hard. It's hard to force somebody down our throats that we should like them and actually end up liking them.
Yeah, But he
it's like being served vegetables, and you're like, do I really want to fuck with this or not? No.
But let me tell you.
But then one day you end up liking Brussels sprouts, you know?
Yeah, probably. Depending if you pour fucking hot sauce on it, whatever works for you. Whatever case.
Right, exactly.
It's way easier to create a heel nowadays than a face. It's really hard to do that.
That's what I say. It was tough for me to put faces together. I wasn't sure, like.
Drew McIntyre is like the fucking god of fucking faces right now, though.
The two tag teams I would start with is FTR, because they're the classic Midnight Express, Brainbusters kind of guys, and I love that kind of mish. And I had to go with Rondo. I had to put a G.O.D. Got to put them. They got to come to America, man. Yeah. And I love them in Japan, but Jesus, I would just love to see them on any promotion.
They're wasting their time. They got to come over here.
No, they're not wasting their time in Japan. That they're not doing. But they need to have.
No, they're creating a legacy. No. You know, yeah, you get it.
They can make so much money over here.
Well, hopefully, when that American based show touches ground soon, we'll get to see a little bit more of them, because those fucking dudes are talented, man. It's crazy. Two women wrestlers. I'm gonna go with what Ronda went with, and I'm going Rhea Ripley and Charlotte. Rhea is a fucking star. She's a star.
Yep.
She got fucked.
They keep beating her face up, though. I'm not a fan of why they keep throwing that makeup on her. Like, it's not necessary.
Yeah,
all that makeup is not necessary. Seriously. And Charlotte is the woman has only been wrestling for less than 6 years, and she's already had, you know, big turning matches. Been in the ring with high velocity competition.
If she were to retire tomorrow, she literally would have matches that people would watch for years and years to come.
Yeah, it's true. From NXT to the main shows, it's true. Mm-hmm. Commentary team, I would go Ronaldo, and one that people might not know of, and I only picked him up recently, and I like him because he's a fresh upstart. He's young, and he actually knows his shit. Is Ian Riccaboni from Ring of Honor.
Oh, okay.
That kid is good. I like
that's
him.
That's not bad. Yeah.
He's a good kid. I don't like the three-man commentary, because if anything else, I would do the whole Mean Gene Okerlund shit where everybody else does. Mm-hmm. You get Tony Schiavone to do that shit. Or if you're going to do another promotion or like another a rotating commentary, you get that heel commentator like fucking Lawler or some shit like that. But
I just need Don West to be on Coke. I need my promotion with Don West on Coke. I need it.
Championships. I want the big gold belt, the world championship. I want the big gold belt, chunky. I want the IC workers belt. That the IC belt, the workers belt is highly missed. You gotta remember that mid card belt is a stature of your next pay to go to the highest pay. You know what I'm saying? So
that's what I'm saying. But that's my point. Make the belts align with money.
Right.
Nowadays, like back then, it was like, hey, I want that big shiny gold belt. Now I'm like at that age where it's like, okay, I want to win that shit to get my fucking TV next month. Mm-hmm. I want to spoil my kids for Christmas. Let me get this belt real quick.
Right.
That's what I want to be sold. And once again, Roman.
Especially if they want to make it more real. Yeah.
Make it more real. Make it so when the match is over, I'm like, oh, they actually gave this dude that raise. Wow, good for him. Not Jolly of the Month Club like the fucking my dude got in Christmas Vacation. I want a pay raise.
Right. The TV title, of course, tag title, women's title, and I do want to bring in, because since we do have these lightweights, I would love a junior heavyweight belt.
Yeah, that's a good pick.
Also, well, let me just go back with the style of promotion quickly. I forgot to touch up on. I want that feel of the territories where you could get wrestlers who could come in to do a hot shot for maybe four to six months, and then they're gone. Then they'll come back a year later, and you could get them in different angles. So there's like a rotation going on, so that you could finally see Darby Allin teaming up with a Jeff Hardy at WWE, and then he's gone after 6 months, and he'll bounce to Impact and wrestle some. Like, I like that rotation. You could get dream matches built like that. And plus, these wrestlers could learn how to wet their whistles as not be fucking focused and just stagnant to just one promotion. You could always get them flowing. That's how like the Mid-South and the NWA and the Mid-Atlantic, they all their wrestlers got better because they all did the rounds. Bookers, I'll take Heyman. Daniel Bryan, I would have booking. Don Callis, and of course, gotta go with my man Cornette. Gotta have Corny. Corny could do it from home.
Oh, hell no.
I would have Corny do it from home.
No. Oh, so you want racism? No,
sure.
No, I have. I'd have Cornette coming into the office maskless.
Maskless. And
no, you don't gotta wear your mask, bro. Go for it. You're good.
I'll have for agents, I will have X-Pac, because I brought it up the other day. I have X-Pac doing it. He knows the business. Jason Jordan's doing very well back there. Shane Helms. And lastly.
Can I ask you
Brooklyn
something?
Brawler.
No, I
gotta cut you off. I gotta cut you off. What? Can I ask you something? Can you tell me one positive thing that's on that Jason Jordan's done in the back?
What are you talking about? He's booked. He was a part of TLC this past year.
Yeah.
Which match?
He was I think it was part of the women's match, and it was the tag match that was his.
Okay.
And lastly. As an agent, Homicide.
That's a good pick.
Homicide.
Homicide. That's a good pick, man. I mean,
look, bro,
I would not
be you can't go on the ring and try to.
He knows the business. You can't, he knows how to put a match together.
You can't fucking hit somebody on the fucking head with a chair without fucking putting your hands up, because you can't. That's why I'm all fucked up now, yo. I would like to see Homicide do that shit. But other than that, that's pretty much. The premise that, you know, we're missing the fact that, and I mentioned earlier that wrestling now, it's gone far beyond of what the genuine thing is. Now it's all about the fucking money for the promotion. It's not about really giving a fuck if the fans really care. And if you sit there and believe that you could create your own promotion, do you think that you can be as successful as those companies, or are you just going to be able to, you know, say, you know what, as long as the fans like it and I could keep bringing in wrestlers and doing this, will it stay afloat? There's multiple possibilities, ladies and gentlemen. Who knows? But like I said earlier, Super Producer Sally, she said, I don't like watching WWE anymore because it doesn't make any sense. But when it came to AEW, she says it's fun. So I guess that's the new thing now. Things ought to be fun.
Hey, everybody has, everybody has their thing, man. Everybody goes through their tastes. We all go through our tastes.
At
one point I was all about New Japan, and now I'm like, I don't have to watch them every day.
Some people like cucumber. Some people like pickle juice. Whatever. I don't know.
Some people like the cucumbers pickled.
I don't know. I don't know what the correlation is, but all right. So that's going to wrap up this segment of Create Your Promotion on Cutting a Promo. When we get back, we have the Tabbies, ladies and gentlemen. The Tabby Awards. Rondo, you can sit in for that if you want.
I'm not coming back.
All right. You don't have to. All
right. No, I'm kidding. All right. I was talking about the wrestling.
Yo, I'm going to keep it a buck with you. I'm going to go to the catering. I got to eat real quick. I'm fucking hungry, bro.
Oh, all right, guys. We'll have Oski go eat something. And for the rest of you guys, don't go over there. Stick around. We will return. Check you guys in a second.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is Lee Walker, Sports Kita journalist and your host of Perched on the Top Rope. And I am here today on the Turnbuckle Tabloid.
Welcome to the 2020 Tabby Awards. Tonight, we honor the worst of the worst, the ridiculous, the buffooned, and the biggest highlights of the past year. Yes, friends, 2020 was a year of atrocities, horrible, horrible events, and loss. And that was all done in a WWE ring. Ladies and gentlemen, Turnbuckle Tabloid presents The Tabbies with your host, Jay the Red Senti and Matt Olsky.
That was beautiful. Wow.
What's going on, everybody?
Wow, that was awesome. Great.
Thanks. How are you doing up there? I see you. Hey, my guy's in the building. What a night.
That's awesome.
What a night.
That's great. Glad that everybody's here in attendance. Thank you, everybody, for partaking in this year's Turnbuckle Tabloids 2020 Tabby Awards.
Presented by nobody.
As always, as everything that's occurring in our livelihoods, the tabbies are brought to you virtually once again. Everything is virtual these days. Wow. One day we shall break away from this and actually maybe get close to someone that's maybe closer than 6 feet. Hopefully, maybe. Who knows? Anyone? Anyone?
We're doing this award show virtual, which, by the way, shout out to everybody in the audience via the Jumbotron. I call it the Mootron 5000. We got a virtual audience in the building, and how's everyone doing? All right. We do goofy shit on this show, but tonight we have some awards to give out, man.
Yes, we do. But first, I want to open up this tonight by saying Cody Rhodes is in the audience tonight. Cody Rhodes is
Cody!
In the audience.
It's Cody!
Cody
What's
Rhodes
on?
Is in the audience tonight. Cody just finally got his name. Cody Rhodes finally got his name.
Congratulations, boss.
Yeah. Yeah, because I was pretty much tired of calling him Cody Streets.
Oh, my God.
Cody Streets. Young Buck, the Young Bucks are in the audience tonight. The Young Bucks. Young Bucks are here.
All right. Matt and Nick, what's going on, guys? There you are. No, don't hide. We see you.
The Young Bucks. I remember when I would call them the Infant Sense.
Where's the crickets on that one? What?
Bucks. Sense. Bucks. Sense. Okay.
Oh, I'm done.
The Fiend is in the audience tonight. The Fiend is in the crowd.
No, he's not.
I don't know about Disney. I don't know about you, but I like my fiends hot and spicy, not charcoaled.
Was that not a fire joke?
I'm not a good guy.
Roman, I'll get to you in a sec.
Roman!
I'll get to you in a sec. Chris Jericho and Orange Cassidy is here, ladies and gentlemen.
They're sitting together.
Yes. Their mimosa match this past year actually put 15% of alcoholics into AA.
Oh my God.
Roman Reigns is here tonight, ladies and gentlemen.
The man himself, the big dog.
Thank you, Roman, for being here.
Roman, put that mask on, bruh.
No. He cannot because, as you can see, that he and our friend from the Muppets, Dr. Teeth, have the same dentist.
Hey, Dr. Teeth.
And that would be Britt Baker.
Oh, there she is. What are you doing?
FTR is here today as well, FTR.
Wow.
After their year in AEW, I would like to say that FTR stands for forego that re-signing. Hardy and Matt Riddle are here, ladies and gentlemen. Hardy and Matt Riddle are here. Also known as the poster boys for the Betty Ford Rehabilitation Clinic.
Oh, my. Wait, can I shout someone out real quick?
Sure.
Miro! Where's Miro? Where's Miro? Show me Miro.
There he goes. There's Miro.
Hey, Miro! What's going on, buddy? How was your 2020? Good? Yeah. Can I be honest with you? My 2020 sucked, but I have to ask you, what's worse? COVID-19 or your new gimmick in AEW? Go fuck yourself. Get a better gimmick.
Retribution is here. The guys in Retribution. Retribution is here.
No. You win the award for the most irrelevant fucking group of people this year.
I gotta tell you, I've seen better masks in a sex bondage shop.
In the back of Spencer's.
In the back of the Village Voice. Sting! Sting is here! Sting!
Oh, no.
It's Sting!
No.
Sting, I'm glad you're here tonight, but we just got a call from the Grapplers group and retirement home. You got to be home by 8, so the accessorize should be here shortly. Should be here shortly.
A bat, more like a cane.
Sami Zayn is here, ladies and gentlemen. Sami Zayn.
Why are you mad? Why are you mad, man?
Also known as Groundskeeper Willie Standin on Wednesdays and Thursdays for The Simpsons.
Wow.
And finally, the immortal Hulk Hogan is in the building. The immortal Hulk Hogan.
Brother. Legend.
Finally.
Everyone, come on. You're a legend. Nobody? All right.
Tonight, Hulk Hogan is here, and of course, he's in his red and yellow attire, but also he's in his nice shade of presidential orange tonight. He's in that presidential orange.
Oh my God.
But enough of that, ladies and gentlemen.
I know you support him, Hogan. I know you support him.
But enough of that, ladies and gentlemen. We continue on with the tabbies here on Turnbuckle Tabloid. Our first award goes out tonight for Gimmick of the Year, ladies and gentlemen. Gimmick of the Year. The nominees are Orange Cassidy, Roman Reigns heel, The Fiend, Alexa Bliss with Fiend, and the winner is heel Roman Reigns.
Whoa! Roman, come up here, man. Congratulations, Roman.
Wow, Roman is. I'm glad that you won tonight, Roman.
At the end of the day, I'm here for my family.
Anything you want to say?
I'm not a good guy. I'm not a bad guy. I'm the guy.
Thank you, Roman.
What an award, Roman Reigns with the heel of the year award. What do you think of Roman's run right now, man?
I think right now going undefeated and having such a great storyline with his family and closing it out with Kevin Owens has been a great tidings. So something that we've been looking forward to, and it finally happened. We got a heel Roman.
Roman actually wanted me to ask you this on stage. What's the one thing that you think is missing from heel Roman right now that should be incorporated into 2021?
More people to sit at the table. That's what we need. More of a stable. Let's get that going.
Who are the missing pieces? Let's talk about it. Jacob Fatu. What?
Maybe. And bring back the other Uso brother. Let's get more into this. Let's get more at the table, ladies and gentlemen. Let's get more.
Congratulations, Mr. Roman.
So,
who's presenting the next award?
You are. So
what? I am.
So the nominees for Tag Team of the Year are.
Wow! I had a whole intro too.
FTR, The North, Street Profits, Kenny Omega, and Adam Page.
You want to open up the envelope?
Sure, let's open it up. And the winner of Tag Team of the Year, besides Matt and Jay Santee, go to The North!
The North can't be here tonight, but Oski will take it on their behalf. So, Oski, you could.
Sure. Listen, I want to thank the Academy. I would love to thank all the tag teams out there who made tag team wrestling shitty this year. And I think Ethan Page had one thing to say. He told me to tell you guys. Go fuck yourselves. That's all. That'll be all. Thank you, man.
So, moving on. The nominees for Faction of the Year are... The Hurt Business.
Sounds like a theme song, shit.
Undisputed Era. Inner Circle. Team Taz. You want to say the winner of this one?
Sure, because I want you to go on a, I want you to go off on the next award. I mean, I want you to go on a rant. The winner of Faction of the Year goes to The Hurt Business. Here we have MVP to accept the award. MVP, what do you think about winning this damn thing?
I want to thank everybody for coming out and appreciating what the Hurt Business has done. Of course, we got Lashley. We have Cedric Alexander. And we got the man himself, Shelton Benjamin, who are all wearing gold. And as your man right now is carrying gold right here, winning the Tabby Award. Thank you guys for coming. And thank you for showing us love. And even if you didn't, we wouldn't give a fuck if you did or not.
Whoa! Watch your mouth. We're on a televised program. Chill, Evan. Chill.
I'm sorry. All right.
Up next to present the my favorite award, the Disappointment of the Year Award. Listen, guys, there have been fuck-ups. There's been burials. There's been delusional veterans. Red is here to present the Disappointment of the Year Award. Take it away, buddy.
Disappointment of the Year, Chris Jericho, Rhea Ripley, Ricochet, Miro, and the winner is, got the envelope, can't fucking open this shit, the winner is Chris Jericho.
What?
Went from one of the biggest legends last year in Turbo Tabloid history in the tournament to the disappointment. Wow. I have to say.
Can you explain how you think this happened?
Sure. All the bullshit that's been happening on AEW when it comes to stupid and ridiculousness, we blame it on Jericho. The mimosa matches, Jericho. The Road to Rhode Island, Bing Crosby and Sammy Davis, Bob Hope, whoever the fuck you want to cross-reference, blame Jericho. I don't care if they say MJF was part of it. Don't care. Jericho is to blame for all this. Highly disappointed in this man. Highly disappointed in the fact that he would think that he's actually that funny to think he could put this shit over. And I'm even more disappointed in the fact and how it continues with this Inner Circle bullshit going into 2021, which means he might be a two-time winner.
I was so disappointed. Jericho, I know you're here to accept the award. And you know what? I was going to let you speak, but I'm not going to let you speak. Let me talk to you face-to-face for a second. Let's be honest here. You stooped down to a level I never expected you to stoop down to this year, man. Honestly, you pitch a feud with Orange Cassidy. No offense, but no offense, Orange. I know you're in the audience. Really? You sing and dance like a show tunes moron. Got it, right? What the hell happened to you, man? You went from legend, top four in my eyes, and you still are there because of your past. But wow, you made 2020 scary to watch sometimes, man. I gotta be honest with you. Break the walls down and go fuck yourself.
It's good to be the champion.
That's all he needs to say.
I guess he ignored me. That's
all he needs to say. That's it. So, continuing on.
What's the next award?
Next award is Match of the Year. Our nominees are Walter and Dragunov, Omega Page, Young Bucks,
O'Reilly Finn Balor. The Boneyard Match. And the winner is Volta and Dragunov.
Wow.
If you guys did not see that,
the night.
If you guys didn't see that match, yikers. You missed out. NXT UK, go to the network. It is phenomenal. Phenomenal.
If you haven't seen that match, you are missing out on a classic. Probably the sleeper of the year. A match not a lot of people talk about. A true gem. A true gem. So I suggest that match to anybody. Walter could not be here due to flight trouble, but I will take the award in his honor. I will give it to him via UPS.
And I'll give it to his child, Little Rey Mysterio Dominic. We'll give it to him.
All right, sounds good to me.
This one wasn't on the board. By the way, the nominees were selected by you, the followers and listeners of Turnbuckle Tabloid.
If you don't like it, blame yourself.
And the winners were determined by us because we really didn't give a shit. So we just wanted to do something.
Spoil it. Don't tell anybody right. that.
So it was done by Price Waterhouse, the same people who do the Academy Awards. It was Price Waterhouse.
I actually heard the next award is presented by Cracker Barrel.
Cracker Barrel, where I thought they only sold cheese. I'll be honest with you. I thought they sold cheese. Okay, so the next nominees weren't on the Turnbuckle Tabloid group page. This was one that we came up together with, and we decided our own winner. So let's see what the nominees. The nominees are
newcomer of the year, Austin Theory, Leon Ruff, Jungle Boy, Pat McAfee, Raquel Gonzalez, Thunder Rosa, Timothy Thatcher.
And the winner is, I really got to get better envelopes. Oh, wow. This is a shocker, ladies and gentlemen. Jungle Boy!
What? Jungle Boy!
Or as Jim Ross would say, Jungle Jack Perry. Jungle Boy Jack Perry.
Jungle Boy, Jack, all right.
Jack Jungle Boy
What do you think about the first year of Jungle Boy's career in AEW?
Man? I thought he was excellent. Excellent straight up and down.
He impressed the hell out of me. I didn't expect him to be that good.
Even in tag matches where they were not their best matches, but especially when he had his collision with Chris Jericho and such, his matches MJF. With MJF, definitely, I thought he had a spectacular year.
That was one of the matches of the years for me. That was one of the matches of the year for you and me, MJF and Jungle Boy. That shit was amazing.
I think that this kid is going to have a lot going for him, and I see him. I even see him as a possible TNT champion in the future. So
I agree.
So yeah, we were very high here on Jungle Jack Perry. Jungle Jack Perry. Next up, gimmick match of the year. The nominees are
AEW's Parking Lot Brawl, WWE Funhouse Match, TLC's Inferno Match, WWE Money in the Bank, WrestleMania Boneyard Match.
And the winner is, you want to say the winner of this one?
Let's do it. Me doing my laundry. Wait, what? Oh, sorry. Wrong. Oh. Wrong card. Oh, that was my to-do list. The Boneyard Match.
Wow.
Right, let's be honest.
Everybody was skeptical about this, but
Let's be honest with you. What do you thought about the Boneyard match overall? Because we had no idea what to expect.
We were very skeptical about this because we was like, oh shit, a cinematic match.
It was the beginning of COVID. We had no idea what to fucking expect.
Yeah, but you know what? They showed out and they showed off, and it was well done. Big tidings to Undertaker, AJ Styles, and the rest of the crew there at WWE for that match. Oh,
and the fact that they pulled that off last minute too, might I add. You think about that. It was a last minute call. It included a motorcycle, Metallica, and fire. So you know I'm on board with that shit.
And by the way, we did have a snippet of what Undertaker thought about this, and you know, Undertaker, take it away.
Good Lord, 91. That's awesome.
I don't know what the 91 was about, but
that was the overall grade that our fans gave that match.
They gave the match, right? That's true. Yeah, thanks for that. So, thank you, Undertaker, for stopping in and we'll be closing out soon, ladies and gentlemen. And it's just so sad. It just goes by so fast. I mean, come on. Female Wrestler of the Year. And the nominees are...
Female Wrestler of the Year, Io Shirai, Thunder Rosa, Asuka, Bayley.
And the winner is Waloski Snacks, Bayley.
Bayley. Holy shit.
Wow, Bayley had a tremendous year, man.
She held that title for all year, basically.
Yeah,
right?
Basically, what, 300 some odd days. Had a great run. Everybody was a suspect about this heel, Bayley.
She surprised all of us.
Promo work was amazing. Her ring work was amazing as well. Led up to that big Hell in a Cell match with Sasha Banks. Awesome, awesome match as well. So congratulations to Bayley. She's not here tonight, but I will hold this and hopefully hold her ass real. I mean, hold her her trophy here. Real soon, and she could. So anyway, and lastly, before we continue on, we must send out our love and condolences for those we lost in 2020. 2020 was a real hard year, and we lost not only people in our lives and in the world, but in wrestling. So in 2020, Rocky Johnson, Howard Finkel, Shad Gaspard, Hana Kimura, Mr. Wrestling 2, Kamala, Road Warrior Animal, Tracy Smothers, Pat Patterson, Zeus, Danny Hodge, Kevin Green, Brody Lee, Grego the Great. No, wait a minute, hold on. Grego's not dead. No, scratch that. Grego's not dead. He just doesn't want to do the show. He wants to get paid. Other than that, to all those we lost, we salute you.
And unfortunately, oh, my bad.
No.
My bad. And unfortunately, I have the terrible responsibility to let you guys know that South Park guy, the guy who was portrayed in South Park as the big dude who played World of Warcraft, has sadly passed away today due to COVID-19.
The cosplay guy who did him.
No, the legit dude.
No, he's a video. He's a cosplay guy who did it.
Rest in peace.
God. So, our final award tonight. Our final award tonight goes to Male Wrestler of the Year. And
I have to cut you, bruh.
What?
I have to cut you off.
What?
I made a few calls. And I actually got someone in to announce the final award, man.
Oh, okay. Do you want me to do the nominees and then they'll announce it?
Well, I mean, I just wanted him to. I wanted him to introduce it, and then you could put the nominees. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, okay.
It's important. All this right. Guy. It took a while for me to get this guy. I want him as much screen time as possible. All right.
All right. Cool. Go ahead.
All right, man. I'm so happy to say this. Take it away, man. How did you not expect a one award show without the WWE champion? McIntyre is here, and as male superstar of the year, I will tell you, brother, I'm honored, I'm privileged that the Turnbuckle Tabbies are here in 2021.
Drew,
Claymore.
Drew, I'm glad you're here, but I'm sorry to tell you, but you weren't nominated this year.
What? Said who?
Said the listeners and the followers of Turnbuckle Tabloid. They didn't nominate you this year.
Then why did I get an email to do this? I was told I was on the fucking award ballot. I had soup night with my wife's parents.
I'm going to assume that someone misled you, sir.
Do you want to get Glasgow kissed? Put my name on the damn board.
I can't. It's already finalized. You know, Price Waterhouse. That's what they do.
I was the face of Raw. Damn it, for 8 months.
Yeah.
I'm the most. I beat everyone in my path.
Maybe.
What are you talking about?
Maybe 2021, maybe?
They're going to bury me by then. This was my only year.
Yeah.
I won the Royal Rumble. I won WrestleMania. And I'm not on the ballot.
This is getting weird.
This is rigged like 2020's election.
This is getting awkward. Sorry,
well,
Drew.
You know what? I'm here, so I might as well. The fucking nominees are.
Oh, okay. The nominees are...
Fuck!
Male Wrestler of the Year, John Moxley, Roman Reigns, Finn Balor, Adam Cole,
McIntyre.
No, Drew. You're not there. Do you want to at least say who's the winner? Here's the envelope. You wanna?
There you go. Go fuck yourself. Okay. The winner is Drew McIntyre.
No, it's not. No.
Thank you, everybody.
No, it's not.
Woo!
No, Drew. No, it's not.
What?
But can you read what's in the read what's on the card? What does it say?
Who's John Moxley? Who the fuck is that?
Yo, it's John Moxley here. Just here to let you guys know. No, it's John Moxley here. Just here to let you guys know that first of all, I don't really give a damn about no damn Tabby Awards. All I really give a damn about is my championship belts and going back to Japan and beating the shit out of Kenta and then come back home and seeing the birth of my child. But other than that, just give me a pint of Jack Daniels and let me smoke this cigarette and I'll get the hell out of here. But Drew, you're a good guy, man. I remember you from back in the WWE and we had a good time together. But other than that, John Moxley's here and here to tell you guys at the Tabby Awards who fuck this award. And if you want, you could give it to Drew. I really don't give a shit. But other than that, see you guys later. I'm out of here.
You heard him. You heard the man.
Thank you, Drew, and thank you, John Moxley, for stopping in. It's probably
don't cut me off, damn it! You already said give me the award.
Who?
How the fuck am I not on this?
Who didn't think that? Who didn't think that the only person that Olski knew, quote unquote, was not going to show up tonight. So, yeah.
Hey, Matt, you promised me the award, damn it.
All right, Drew, you can get the fuck out now. It's over with. So,
fuck off.
We got to close off. We got to close off tonight's Tabby Awards. And thank you, everyone, for participating. And thank you, everybody, for being a part of the Turnbuckle Tabloid Tabby Awards 2020. You guys were great. Thank you, everybody, for partaking, and good night, so long, farewell, and until next year, to all the nominees and all the winners, congratulations to you guys. Have a good night and have a safe trip. And wash your hands, wash your face, and as we stay here in Turnbuckle Tabloid, take a bump. We're out of here.
Turnbuckle Tabloid.
3, 2, 1.
Tabloid.